Hi, I'm Carl of the Zeus. Two of the topics that have dominated the news in recent days are inflation, the rise in prices of the stuff we buy, and the Omicron variant of COVID-19. What happens when you put these two together? That's what economic analysts are trying to figure out. To be clear, no one knows yet what kind of impact Omicron is going to have. The World Health Organization says the Delta variant, a previous mutation of coronavirus, is still causing most of the infections worldwide. And as it began to spread earlier this year, Delta caused a lot of the problems we're still seeing with the supply chain. That's included factory shutdowns, shortages of manufacturing materials, and store shelves with less inventory. And the U.S. Federal Reserve, the nation's central bank, says the supply chain disruptions made the inflation problem worse. Earlier this year, officials said rapidly rising prices would be transitory or temporary. Now, the Fed's chairman is indicating that America's inflation may not settle down anytime soon. And a big reason why is that supply issues are hard to predict. They're not spread out evenly among factories, shipping, trucking, warehouses. And fears about the Omicron variant may add to the complexities of the problem, because if it spreads like Delta did, or sickens groups of people who work closely together, more factory closures could be on the horizon, and people may be hesitant to work with others in close quarters. With a shortage of workers already causing challenges in several different fields, anything that keeps more people from working could only make things worse. But again, it's not known if Omicron will sicken people the way Delta did, or if existing treatments and vaccines will work against the disease. So it's hard to predict any sort of future economic impact at this point. The current impact continues to take a toll, especially on the nation's farmers.
As Jim Jones finishes the sweet potato harvest on his North Carolina farm, skyrocketing costs are slicing through his profits.
Are you seeing any more money from this inflation?
No, we're actually paying for it.
The price of fertilizer, fuel, and labor are way up with no ceiling in sight.
How did your profit change this year?
I would say maybe 10-15%.
What about looking ahead to next year?
I'd add that much more to it again.
Despite those markups at the market, many farmers say the price they receive for their crop isn't going up. So your price is staying the same?
My price is staying the same. Or a little lower.
Why don't farmers just raise the price of their crops?
Farmers are price takers, not price makers.
Patty Edelberg is vice president of the National Farmers Union.
Who's making the money from that inflation?
Much more the middleman than anybody else.
The USDA confirms that in many cases, processors and distributors that get food from the farm to store shelves are the ones passing along their surging costs. With materials and ingredients still stuck on cargo ships and a shortage of labor and truckers driving up wages and costs.
To some extent, we're also trying to pay for the uncertainty in the marketplace right now.
Trey Malone is an agricultural economist at Michigan State University.
So we're in the middle of a perfect storm of unique events in agricultural production. I would say buckle up for a while longer of these higher input costs.
Some farms are stocking up on materials in case suppliers run out. Others are waiting, hoping prices will drop. All these costs, especially labor, are threatening Matt Alvernaz's California sweet potato farm.
We were making $100,000 to $150,000 a year in profit. This year we're probably going to lose $80,000 to $120,000.
And it's only getting worse.
We could potentially lose $250,000 next year. We would not have enough cash to take into the following year in order to get our operating loan in order to operate for the following year.
Farmers are used to volatility, and both Alvernaz and Jones are now looking for ways to adapt, like downsizing or shifting to other crops.
It's going to worry you, but I ain't going to let it get me down. We'll survive somehow.
As long as these money problems stop piling up.
We just need to get a fair price for what we're growing.
Gabe Cohen, CNN, Washington.
10-second trivia. What is the smallest species of rhinoceros? Sumatran, Javan, white, or Indian? Sumatran is the answer, though they can still weigh more than 2,000 pounds. But our next story concerns white rhinos, the largest species, which can weigh more than 7,700 pounds. There are two subspecies of white rhinoceros, northern white rhinos and southern white rhinos. The northern ones are on the brink of extinction. These are believed to be the last two left in the world, and they're both female. Southern white rhinos were in similar danger in the late 1800s. At one point, there were believed to be fewer than 50 of them. But thanks in large part to the work of a nature reserve in South Africa, there are now thousands of southern white rhinos. Because they're still threatened by poachers, illegal hunters, dozens of these large animals have been flown to another African park where it's hoped they'll reproduce and thrive for decades to come.
40 hours and some 3,400 kilometers. 30 white rhinos complete a long journey from South Africa to a new home in Rwanda. It's the largest single transfer of the species and a move to replenish the white rhino's struggling population, one largely devastated by poaching since the 1970s. The journey was no easy feat. White rhinos are one of the largest land mammal species and can weigh up to 2 tons. Following months of preparation, the partially sedated rhinos were transferred from South Africa's Pinda Private Game Reserve. They boarded a Boeing 747 to Rwanda, to their final destination. Akagera National Park, a space that the staff of African Parks believes will provide a safe haven for the threatened species.
White rhinos are being persecuted on the continent. Their numbers, they are not stable. They're on a knife edge. They could go either way. If something happened to Kenya or to South Africa on the scene of white rhinos, that is where the majority of white rhinos are. Then white rhinos are really on the brink of extinction. So it makes no better sense than to bring them into safe areas, areas we know where they would thrive.
Grunner says the animals will be safer here than they were in South Africa, where he says 3 rhinos daily are killed by poachers.
We brought black rhinos here in 2017. They are thriving. We brought the lions here. They are thriving. We've proven as the management of the park, but also with the government collaboration, that it's a safe, progressive place and that we can ensure their security.
Poaching remains the primary threat to these animals, targeted for their horns. There are only about 20,000 southern white rhinos remaining, considered near threatened. And only 2 females of another subspecies, the northern white rhino, on the brink of extinction. The 30 white rhinos are welcome additions to the park, which has seen a decline in tourism during the COVID-19 pandemic. White rhinos enjoy grazing in open spaces, so visiting tourists can expect to get a good look.
The white rhinos are going to be seen in the open spaces by almost all the tourists. So it's going to be something that will really help a lot on the tourism side.
Initially placed in 2 large enclosures, authorities say the rhinos will soon be able to roam the expansive park with plenty of room to grow. Zane Asher, CNN.
After a few days on the lam, Steve is finally back in the pen. This is Steve. He's a goat. His day job, along with a team of other goats, is helping the city of Clive, Iowa, keep invasive plant species out of the greenbelt. They do that by eating them. But Steve recently went AWOL and spent 4.5 days wildly roaming the city. Finally, a family cornered him at a car dealership after he stopped to admire his reflection in the glass. Since he traded his freedom up for his pride. You could say there's mutton to it, didn't cost him his hide, but all kidding aside, he'd still be on the limb if he hadn't stuck his chin out to admire his vanity. He made a bad choice, and it couldn't be clearer that he missed a bleep when he stopped to stare in the mirror. You can't chew the cud reflecting on your own reflection. He should have hoofed it moving on ahead in any direction, but in working for the city, he's sure to get the vote that when it comes to escape, artist Steve's the goat. All right, we love to recognize schools that use our show and put up with my pun raps. We find them exclusively in the comments section of our YouTube channel, and today's shout-out goes out to Laguna Hills High School in Laguna Hills, California. I'm Carl Azuz.